If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 37. I'm your host, Stephen Hopper, the head of IGN's Xbox channel. Joining me today are my fellow locksmiths, Peter Eichmans.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest today. Mr. Casey Lynch is out of the office today, so we have Ms. Stephanie Lee, associate editor of IGN Wikis.
What's up, guys? And just so we're not lacking beards, I'm actually rocking a beard right now.
She I is. Know. After I heard Casey wasn't going to be here, yesterday, starting about 4 p.m., I started growing a chin beard. It's not going very well.
I started growing my unibrow. I don't know if you guys can see that, but it's really difficult to look at this.
Hey, it's facial hair, so
it's
something.
Yeah, it's something. It's on the right track. There you go.
It's streaming down my
With
face.
With our powers cascading. Combined, we will be as awesome as the beard in chief.
Slowly.
Yes. So, Stephanie, you've done Unlock before, right?
Yeah. It's actually been a while. So it's great to be back. Thanks for having me on.
One of the classic figures. Yeah.
Thanks for stepping in for good old Mr. Lynch.
No worries.
Awesome. So, Xbox-wise, Stephanie, what have you been playing? What's huge?
I've been playing a lot of Skyrim, guys.
For like a month straight, at least.
For a month straight, and because I'm doing the wiki for it, the wiki
How
guide.
How come you're not done yet? Jeez.
Man, I try to like clone myself and have like 50 of me doing things at the same time, but still not enough to see everything in that game. I'm telling you, there's so much stuff. But that's really all I've been doing, sadly. But in the non-Xbox world, which we're probably not allowed to talk about because I see Ninja in the background.
Oh.
But, I've been playing, like, some other non-Xbox games.
You can say it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
Zelda. Okay. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Right on. I'm a big Zelda fan. I mean, like I said on the podcast last week when we were discussing which franchises we'd trade. And I opted to go Zelda for Fable because...
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I think Skyward Sword would have been a much better game on like a 360 console because of the it can handle a lot more.
Yeah, that was kind of the thoughts from last week too. Mm-hmm. Is that it'd be a better fit. Mm-hmm. In terms of Skyrim, though, getting back to that, obviously you've stuck a lot of time into that game. I mean, you kind of have to. It's just massive.
How many save? What's your save number?
I'm like on 127 or something,
dude.
But
I'm not going to lie, I have more than that, but really? It's because I pickpocket.
But you know how far, I'm like not far at all, because I spend most of my time like pausing the game and then writing, so I think I have about 160 hours logged.
Oh, wow.
But
that's a lot of pause time.
Yeah,
probably,
a lot of it is pause time and writing time. Yeesh. And I'm, there's just so much stuff, and I'm just like, I'm doing kind of like mundane things, like doing lists and, you know, saying, hey, there's a butterfly here, it's really cool, check it out.
You know, are there special butterflies that you can only find in certain places?
Yeah, there are some butterflies that kind of fly around in certain places, and then those are used for, like, alchemy and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I have to go find those things for people.
Can you like
exciting, huh?
Dragon shout him to new places? And
I've never tried. That sounds kind of brutal.
Yeah,
take that butterfly.
I just wonder if you can like hose up the ecology, the ecosphere of Skyrim by dragon shouting butterflies where they don't need
it's
to be.
It's actually kind of cruel because like you see them flying, fluttering about, and then when you grab them, it just says dart wing. Or the wing just taken. And I'm like, oh man, I just plucked the wings off this thing.
Yeah, you can just picture
him going. Discarded the carcass.
You just look on the ground, you see a butterfly staring up at you going, why?
Yeah, it's not like in Zelda. Like, it's not like Zelda where you have like a bug net or something where you put them in a jar to keep them safe. This is like, nope, you killed that butterfly.
It's for the good of alchemy, though.
For the good of the land.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, this week... Big news in Xbox. The dashboard went live. Well, kind of went live.
It tried to go
yesterday. It tried to go live yesterday. There was some delays. It got pushed back. It was originally going to be, I think, 10 a.m. Pacific was when they were thinking of going wide with it. But, you know, Major Nelson announced via his Twitter feed that it was getting pushed back. And then, you know, some point late afternoon, early night, it eventually started rolling out to gamers.
Yeah, it was after like 5 o'clock.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a host of problems to come along with that as well. Xbox Live service was down. I'm not really sure what happened there. I don't know if they were just inundated with, you know, a lot of people logging into Live to get the new dashboard or what happened. But it was down for a substantial portion of the night. I think I posted a story last night around 10 and it was still down.
Yeah.
And by midnight, most of the service had been restored. Except for Epic's. That was the one thing. And last I checked, it was still down.
Yeah,
as of the recording of this podcast.
Yeah. Mm.
So,
which is weird to me because you'd think they're like already familiar with their install base, so they should know like the load that's about to like come their way.
Right, right. Yeah. And I mean, you know, they have had ample time to work on it too. And there was this preview program. I kind of assume that's what preview programs were for.
Was to like, work out some of those bugs,
to keep shit like this from happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess that wasn't the case. So I mean it's been a rocky start. For the, you know, the dashboard, to say the least. But Peter, you've messed around with it a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, now I mean, I was playing around with your beta version. We made that video, and ever since I made that video, I've been getting voice and text messages through Xbox Live, just saying, "When's it coming? When's it coming? When's it coming?" It's like I wish I had an answer for you. I know as much as you guys do. I'm starting to like it. Mm-hmm. I think one thing, I walked in this morning and Andrew Goldfarb, our news editor, he's like, I can't find out how to change this theme. I had bought gotten like some promo theme like a year ago that's dumb, I never used. And it apparently when it updated his dashboard, it just set that theme as his theme. And he couldn't figure out how to turn it off.
Here, you want this.
Yeah. We noticed you haven't used this in a while. And so anyway, I went in there, I downloaded the update to my system here at the office, and everything's fine. Xbox Live was up again, and sure enough, I was poking around. I was like, where is this thing? Because I found where you can buy new themes and all that, but turns out, like, those personalized settings, you have to go to your social feed, click on yourself, and then you can change your gamer picture and your avatar stuff and your themes.
So it sounds like you really had to dig through a lot of clutter.
Kind of. Like, it's just stuff's in new places right now. Mm-hmm. And there's so many more new boxes with advertisements and promos and this stuff. It's a little unclear what goes where. Because I found, like I said, I found where you can buy the themes, but you can't go in and change the themes from that menu. It's set somewhere else, and it's a little bit of a back and forth. So I think it's kind of growing pains. Like, you have to figure out where stuff is. It's going to be annoying for a little bit, but then I think in a week or two, we're not going to be talking about it because it's just Xbox now.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually haven't downloaded it yet. And based on my Twitter feed, it was kind of a pain to get. Like, it took a long time.
I kept getting errors.
When I went home,
I turned it on.
More difficult than it should have been.
It was like, there's an update available. Then it's like, you can't download this update. I'm like, why not? It's giving me some weird error code. And then I tested it. And it was downloading the update, then I walked away, had dinner, came back, and it said, oh, the update failed, you can't connect to Xbox Live. And then I hit A, and it was still the old menu. Then all of a sudden, it was the new menu that was there, but I couldn't connect to Xbox Live, and it was just messy.
Yeah, a lot of people had issues like that. I think it just stems from the fact that Xbox Live was intermittently down last night. So, I don't know. It wasn't a really clean rollout. And I really think Stephanie hit the nail on the head when she mentioned that it just felt kind of cluttered. Like, you have to... That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, as clear as it as it looks. I mean, it does look a lot cleaner on the surface. It's got the new Metro UI, and you know, there's less options per page. But along those lines, it's kind of tough to find anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, like you said, Pete, it's going to be second nature within a matter of weeks for everyone. And I remember when the original NXE or whatever the last update was called.
Right.
I think that came out in like 2009 or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. I remember a lot of people having problems with that and the way it looked and wanting to go back to the blades, but you know, this is Xbox, and
yeah,
it's where we are.
I mentioned in the video preview I'd done too, like, it's definitely like the new Xbox is all about entertainment and their channels and the TV and the videos, because even on the sub, like the headings between like social and video and all that stuff, like gaming's like fourth or fifth down the list.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, it's not even like you go from your homepage to your friends list to games. You go homepage, friends list, video, you know, and music and that kind of stuff.
I'm curious then, like, I know they were having a really big push on like Kinect integration. So with this new dashboard, does it like really make you want to go out and get a Kinect just so you can use all the cool voice commands? And
not really, but I have to say it's very sensitive to Kinect. Like, if you say Kinect games, it goes right there.
Yeah.
Like, it's much faster voice recognition than it had in the past, which is really nice to use when it can actually hear you. When I was doing the preview, I was having a lot of trouble because there's a lot of, like, machine noise from the different video equipment we have in there. So I was, like, yelling at the Kinect to, you know, bing certain topics, and it's just like, nope, not going
to
do it. And we're like, oh, man, we're recording.
To my Kinect.
Don't be camera shy.
What if it just reacted like Siri and it's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. There's too much machine noise.
Siri is awesome.
Siri is pretty cool.
Overall, I don't know. It seems cool. I'm not too bothered by the ads yet because you start to realize where the stuff you use is and you go directly to that. It's not like I'm sitting there watching a commercial that I'm forced to.
Right.
Maybe that happens, but it hasn't happened to me yet.
Yeah, I'll warm up to it. I mean, I do personally like the new Kinect features. I think that's great. I've had a Kinect for not super long. I probably got it like 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had it the full year that some people have. But, you know, it's just kind of been there, like sitting next to my TV, as I'm sure is the case with a lot of
kind
people.
Of, it nods at you every time you turn on your Xbox.
Steve,
I'm still here. Hey.
It's like, hey.
What's up?
It's just kind of like this passing in the hall, like, oh, hey, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really talk. We're just kind of acquaintances who share a living room space.
You know one random detail that I do like? On the Bing page, it pulls up random photographs and sets them as a background just for the Bing page.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And then you can do photo credit. You can find out who took the picture. It's kind of nice. Totally random.
Like random photos.
There's like nature photos.
Facebook?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think it pulls it like that. That'd get weird.
Would be
spring break.
And they must have some like just photo library that this stuff is pulled from. I think the actual Bing web browser does something like that too. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of it's cool because it's outside of the theme that you have set to your dashboard, and it's just kind of a random. Hey, that's cool. Volcano.
Something to do while you're searching or trying to struggle to communicate with your
Bing. Xbox! Bing! I said Bing!
Ooh, a volcano.
You wanted to search for volcano. Here's a list of volcanoes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's slow going right now
for
the dashboard, but it'll get there.
Eventually, I'll log back on Xbox Live one of these days.
Sooner or later.
I actually haven't logged on for I think at least two weeks now.
Oh,
yeah. Because I've been playing Skyrim on the works Xbox.
Oh,
so
right.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like transferring my save back and forth, and I don't feel like doubling up on the stuff I've already done at home.
Right.
So.
Well, the good thing about that though is cloud
storage.
Saves. Yeah.
Have you tried it? Did you configure it?
Cloud storage. I enabled it.
Okay.
I haven't done much with it yet though.
Before this was coming, I was so excited about it because I'd have to. Mm-hmm. I could stop bringing that USB drive that has my profile and all my saves on it, which is already very dangerous because if anything happened to that, I'd lose like half my game saves.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden I realized, like, wait, cloud storage? What if I'm not online anymore? What if, like, internet's down or something? Then I just can't do anything.
What if the cloud rains?
What if the weather turns stormy?
Oh, my God. No. What's happening?
So I haven't enabled it yet, but I imagine I will. But I need to find a way to back up my saves.
Cloud's supposed to be pretty solid. I mean, I agree with you on the internet thing. I mean, that would be rough if you just lost your saves.
And how's, like, if, I guess depending on your connection speed too, like if any game that autosaves, I imagine you can set it to autosave to the cloud as well for any save file you have up there. But yeah, what if like you lose Xbox Live halfway through your game, things get confused? These are just conspiracy theories I have about losing saves in progress.
You're such a theorist.
Yeah, that's a major concern with cloud saving and cloud gaming in general. Yeah. So, and I'm sure Microsoft is really aware of that. So
yeah,
they're
going to
make their infrastructure really robust and whatnot. And even if your game crashes, I think the save will still be
there. Yeah, I bet if you lose connection, it's obviously going to save it to the hard drive instead or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And I still need to mess around with cloud saves, but I'm not sure if it auto-saves to your cloud.
Yeah, good point.
It could auto-save to your console, hard drive, or memory unit, whatever you have.
I saw there's a Cloud Save 101 video on the dashboard. I'm going to watch it when we get out of here.
There you go.
Put some of my fears to bed.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Assuage those fears. All right, guys. Let's move on. So 343 Industries, Frank O'Connor mentioned last week that Master Chief is going to change in Halo 4. Did you guys have a chance to see that story that our good Mr. Goldfarb put up?
Briefly scanned it.
Cool.
Yeah.
There are some radical changes in the way or on the way for Chief and Cortana. Just kind of aesthetic things is what they're saying. But also in terms of Cortana's character, they're saying that, you know, she's been alive too long, apparently. You know, she looked like she was at the end of her life as an AI at the end of Halo 3. But, you know, she's still around and she's absorbed much more information than a lot of AI constructs ever have. Probably more than any other AI construct has in Halo lore. And she's getting crazy a little bit. So she's going into a state of what they call rampancy. So what do you think that's going to mean for the Halo 4 story?
I don't know. I could see it being like, you know, she's always there to guide him and help him out and tell him what to do. Mm-hmm. So she's like losing her shit because she's been out there too long and has too much information. I see it maybe like almost an Assassin's Creed style, like pop in, pop out, digital like craziness going on.
Yeah.
Maybe like the voice changing, pitch, character, completely new voice actor. I don't know.
Ooh, weird.
Just something getting crazy, and maybe all her advice won't be so helpful this time around.
It would just be like random gibberish, like, I need scissors.
Yeah.
61.
61.
But I also thought rampancy was not like necessarily becoming insane or whatever, but it's just becoming more self-aware and becoming like less of an AI and more of like getting very humanistic qualities.
That's possible too.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy. Yeah. I kind of wonder, well, maybe she'll get too self-aware and we'll have a Campbell freakout from the end of Metal Gear Solid 2. Have that shit all over again.
Man.
That'd be kind of wild. And also, Chief is going to get a new look. They haven't really revealed much details.
Yeah.
A new cod piece?
A new cod piece, yes. That's what he needs.
I imagine if the quote is he's been in space a long time, it might just mean that maybe his armor is a little more like mix and match. Things are a little more beat up, dented, scraped, burnt, charred, who knows what.
It could be. It could be.
I mean, I don't think a visual thing like that's going to be like, oh, that's not the Master Chief I know and love.
Whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's...
It makes sense. I mean, it's a logical move, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have to both show that this, you know, iconic character that we thought we might never see again is still out there, but things have changed. Like, this has been a long time coming. I mean, the legendary ending of 3 very much leaves that, and the teaser we've seen for 4, like, things are changed. We don't know quite what's happened or what's going on, but there's some explosion residue all over him from all those explosions in space.
I wonder if shit's going to get pretty serious in Halo 4. It could be like a gritty franchise reboot, that Batman Begins was.
Yeah.
But, set in Halo.
Should be pretty cool.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm curious to hear more. I'm sure we will soon.
Yeah, we'll know more.
360, right? Not the next gen console.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's 360 in 2012. They didn't say only 360 in 2012. Ah. It's kind of one of the things that's been kicking around in the rumor mill. Like, oh, well, they said it's coming for 360, but not only 360.
Yeah, but
right.
We've seen games jump, like games that have been released for the current gen and then jump over to the next gen. And they didn't turn out very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twilight Princess.
And was it Black that did that too?
I don't think so.
There were a ton.
Maybe Just Cause. No, the original Just Cause.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did that come out on Xbox?
Just Cause?
I feel like it did.
Xbox One.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It did. But
yeah, okay. Then, yeah, there was a very, like, I think it was pretty straight port, but the first one was okay on 360 then, too.
Yeah, the 360 launch had a bunch of those games.
Yeah.
Those, like, okay, it's also on Xbox, but here's an HD up-res for you, like Gun and Tony Hawk. What was the Tony Hawk game that came out at launch? Like American Project Wasteland 8? Or something?
Yeah, I think Project
American Wasteland. No, that was the next year.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, there were a few of those games that weren't, you know, didn't really do much for the 360. They're just kind of there.
Speaking of Tony Hawk, did you see the news story that went up today? That Tony Hawk tweeted saying, oh, I'm going to make an announcement at the VGAs. Coincidence? I think not.
I did not see that.
Yeah, that's what I just saw today.
If it can erase, like, 6 or 7 years of Tony Hawk history, I'm game. I love the first 4 Tony Hawk games. I know some people say, like, even 4 was going off the rails, but I still had so much fun with 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
3 was the echelon for me. That series definitely peaked at 3.
For sure, but I think I spent the most time with the original.
Really? Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, for sure.
That was so fun.
I played the original on N-Gage. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
not exclusively. Exclusively, I also played it on Dreamcast. I loved it on that.
Yeah.
I played it on the PlayStation.
Me too.
Nice. Nicely done.
Sigh.
Next up.
Maybe we're getting just a new game with that board peripheral.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Maybe that board peripheral is the game. You just have to put wheels on it.
Yeah.
And then go outside. That's the new Tony Hawk game. It's awesome.
And they're all wearing like those 3D glasses while skateboarding.
There's just a digital readout that has arbitrary points on it. Yay, 250. Like, I didn't do anything.
You didn't fall off. You hit a crack in the sidewalk and jumped off your board. 200 points! So next up, guys. We ran a story earlier this week on what a Skyrim movie would be. So it was Jesse Shedin posted the article. It would speculate what the movie would be. You know, what would work in it, what wouldn't work. You know, just given the Skyrim storyline and just kind of general Elder Scrolls lore. Everyone here has been playing Skyrim quite a bit. So, what do you guys think of a potential Skyrim movie?
Nope.
No. Movie. It's way too big.
Yeah, it's not even that it's so big.
It'd be like a 10-hour movie.
The appeal of the Elder Scrolls universe and all the games so far is that you make your own stories. You do what you want to do. You play it how you want to play it. There's like this joy in discovering something that you had no idea was there, or maybe your friends haven't seen yet, or nobody's even heard of yet. Just these random moments. And once you turn that into a movie, it loses all sense of freedom, personalization, like telling your own story, because it's forcing it down this one path. And like, granted, I have only played like a little bit of the main quest line. But to make a movie, they have to tell a main story like that with one set character.
Yeah.
One set, you know, sense of discovery. And it's like, how Skyrim turns into these random, like, oh my God, a dragon hit just when I was doing this. But in a movie, it's like, oh, here's a dragon. It's not like the sense of wonder. It's like, okay, he's going to fight several dragons throughout this movie.
But maybe you don't have to do the movie in the perspective of like the character you created. Maybe you can make a movie out of like the existing NPC ecology that's in Skyrim. You know, like, I think since there's so many different quest lines in Skyrim, I think like a focus on like the Dark Brotherhood or something, or the Daedric quests would be really cool. And I honestly, I would not want to watch a movie about dragons. I'd rather kill them and absorb their souls.
I think a friend of mine had that as his yearbook quote.
But yeah, I think that would kind of make for a boring movie, just like about dragons.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. Just taking the lore, the world, and telling some random, completely unrelated story.
Yeah.
Like, about how the guy, what his adventures before he got shot in the knee.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Backstory.
Your patella tendon is not funny. And I know why people keep laughing. They obviously have never had their knee shot.
Everyone sort of ran that joke into the ground. But yeah. I gotta say, Destin's montage video is awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the final clip of that where he shoots a guy in the knee and he's like, well, carry on, citizen. And he walks away with an arrow in his knee. It's so perfect.
Yeah, they killed it within like a day.
Yeah.
Congratulations, internet.
Way to be, guys. Well played.
I actually think the Elder Scrolls series would make an awesome TV series if they can get the budget and make it like 10 seasons long.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I mean,
it'd kind of be in direct contention with Game of Thrones. So
yeah, no.
Just a medieval, like, that style of show.
I guess.
Though it's that stuff happens all the time, like similar movies, similar shows. Like somebody wants to be like, how can we compete with Game of Thrones?
Yeah, Game of Thrones is gangbusters right now. So
yeah.
I think it would be it's a great time to come up with a fantasy TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Try to strike when that iron's hot.
Yeah, just Elder Scrolls. You don't have to name it. You don't have to subtitle it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Just don't put scrolls in the title, otherwise Bethesda will come after you.
No, that's true. Well, I'd hope that if somebody makes an Elder Scrolls game, that Bethesda would have some say in it.
Yeah, true.
You don't need no stinking Bethesdas.
Would you want to see a movie made out of Skyrim, though?
There are things that I would like to see in a movie from Skyrim. But would I like to see a Skyrim movie? No. I like the idea of, you know, talking zombie dragons. I mean, I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit. I would like to see that in a movie. I do like killing them. Don't get me wrong, but I think that would be a really cool thing. I like the politics of race that they deal with.
Oh yeah,
in the Elder Scrolls games as a whole, like with you know, dark elves and wood elves, right?
Yeah, the elves are really hated in that game.
Yeah, yeah,
they get really shafted.
Yeah, and I think
the dark elves.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really cool thing to, you know, approach in a film context. And, you know, even the one story arc tying everything together of this person who basically comes from nothing and is, you know, some revered hero known as the Dragonborn, Dovahkiin, you know. I think that would be a kind of cool end to pursue. However, I wouldn't like to see a Skyrim movie because, for me, the story has always been, you know, ancillary.
Yeah,
I mean, the stories are interesting, and you know there is enough in the quest progressions to really keep you invested in the storyline and what's happening and going from point A to point B. But for me, exploration has always been paramount, and if you don't have that factor, then you really don't have Skyrim. You might as well be making, you know, Game of Thrones or anything else, any kind of, you know, linear narrative that would, you know, move an audience from a beginning to a finite end, which is not what Elder Scrolls is about.
Yeah.
Let's backpedal a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I think you struck gold when you said zombie dragons. So people have been complaining about zombies. So that is the perfect twist.
There you go.
Having a zombie dragon apocalypse. Let's see people survive that.
Horrible so apocalypse.
Like The Walking Dead meets Reign of Fire.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers that awful movie.
Man. So that would be an interesting movie. I'd watch it.
I think I've gotten to the point in Skyrim. I was talking to Justin Davis, the mobile editor here at IGN, about this, where I could walk away and feel okay.
Yeah.
Like, wait. I'm mid, like, probably early 10-20% into the story. Just stop playing it.
Wow.
I put about 30 hours into it. I think I could walk away and feel like, man, Skyrim was great.
Cool.
Is that? I mean, it's a little bit weird.
Everyone goes at their own pace. I mean, not everyone's going to drop, you know, 150, 200 hours in the game. I mean, quite a few people will.
Yeah.
But not unless everyone's going to do
PS3.
That.
PS3.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, man.
Me, ouch.
Sorry. I mean,
put those claws away.
That sucks. It was funny. Ryan Clements was talking about how it's this perfect game because if you don't, like, make a mess and throw stuff everywhere and leave doors, if you close doors after yourself and do all this stuff, apparently it helps the save file problem. And he's like, this is my perfect game. It's all about being polite. Oh, yeah. I can just see him, like, closing every door behind him and making sure every chest is nice and neat.
And not leaving bodies lying around.
Yeah.
He's such a nice player.
Exactly.
I think he's gonna, after he beats the main storyline, he's just gonna walk around behind people when they sneeze and say, God bless you. Very clever.
Except
thing
he's gonna use the Fusero Da or whatever and just knock him over.
God bless you! Bless you!
Nice.
I will finish Skyrim, but I feel like I know what it is. I feel like I have had the experience. I've had the random craziness happen. I've had silly things happen. I've had those, oh my god, what did I just find moments. And I'm just going to, I think, put it away for a few weeks while I finish up some other stuff.
Well, cool. You're right, though. Like, if you kind of boil down the whole the Skyrim experience, none of it really... The whole world is just really immersive. But when you boil it down, like the combat mechanics are kind of clunky, and the writing is decent, and the story is like at least better than Oblivion's, and that's not saying much. The main storyline, that is. And then like once you get that sense of discovery and that whole like awe-inspiring feeling you get from just absorbing this world that Bethesda created, it kind of the googly eyes kind of go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I still get that because I haven't even visited every one of the major towns, and I was still like, it's a little bit breathtaking to walk into some of these towns and to see how they're set up, like on a cliff or in the mountains, like. I had to run a Thieves Guild quest all the way out to the far west of the map. I forget the town name, but they have that whole, like, dwarven underground thing where there's a researcher working on stuff, and you go through, you have to sneak in and steal his translation of, like, the Falmer language, and it's just kind of crazy. Like, it's this whole new visual overhaul because it's all, like, dwarven stuff, and it's like, oh, wow, this is interesting. I haven't seen everything because I've just spent too much time in the east.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff.
And of course, you're not going to see everything, but it was surprising.
But oh, I also want to just take this time to totally off topic. Well, not off topic, but a little bit of a tangent. I wanted to thank my IGN community for helping out with the Skyrim Wiki, because if I were to do all that my stuff, I'd probably blow my brains out.
You guys saved
it's
a life
really
today.
It's really insane.
You'd be like so Russell Crowe in Beautiful Mind.
Contributors. It's those contributions.
Yeah, totally.
Very nice. Awesome. Thanks, guys. And let's move on to our next segment, which is email.
How's Casey say it? I'm pretty sure it's like, email.
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 He actually just sits in the corner and starts crying.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. He does it bombastically. He goes, email. Like that.
That's better.
That actually really sounds like him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been honing it.
I should pass over this beard.
The beard has been passed. All right, guys. Lucas Beta from Brasil says, I've been wondering why developers have trouble exploring new ideas for franchises. We have many zombie games and war games on the market, but we don't see a good story about a samurai. Neither do we have a famous vampire game. Developers keep telling the same stories using the same elements. Why is that? Are developers afraid of exploring something outside of their comfort zone? Or are they just making games that they know the consumers will be inclined to buy? What other kinds of stories would you like to be told in games?
First of all, Lucas, samurai game, Onimusha. And famous vampire games, Castlevania.
Yeah.
Where has this guy been?
Good points.
And also a dishwasher. I mean, that game was badass.
I didn't play that.
It's a samurai game.
It is good. It's great.
Yeah, I heard.
But I think he's talking probably big, obviously Castlevania hits this, but big AAA, like major release about samurai.
Yeah. We haven't gotten. I mean, Onimusha definitely, but that we haven't seen an Onimusha in a really long time.
It just seems like he's taking into account only like the most recent games.
But at the same time, he does bring up a good point. Like, how many sequels have we seen this year? It's been insane. Like every game has three tacked onto it. And so I think you brought up the point yourself. Like, they're not afraid to explore something outside of their comfort zone, but like their investors and the people paying their salaries need to see some kind of return on it. So it's harder for AAA developers to take risks.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
So that's why you're going to see a lot of kind of similar games and games reverting to mechanics that they know work and sequels and similarities and kind of ground we've seen before.
Yeah. All the Sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, I was just going to say it's really difficult, you know, with the way the economy is and just kind of worldwide. Like, people are really leery when it comes to investing a huge amount of money, which, you know, games cost a ton of money to make.
Yeah.
People are leery about investing in something that they aren't sure is going to work. So that's why you see a lot of, you know, big AAA tier franchise games like, you know, Gears of War 3 and, you know, what have you, come out instead of, you know, really daring small titles. But that being said, I mean, there are a lot of the indie scene is getting huge these days.
Right.
Like, there are a lot of really small games that came from you know, small beginnings and have just ballooned and became awesome. I mean, look at Minecraft.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the feel-good homebrew story of the year. I mean, that game came from like totally auspicious beginnings and it's just massive now. It's in a league of its own.
For sure. If you want innovation, you look towards the indie segment.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And they have less to lose when they take risks.
Also, I want to say, I mean, like, consumers have, like, all the power. If you want to see change and you don't want to support what a company is doing, just don't buy that game, even though if you really, really want to play it.
Yeah.
But maybe that will maybe encourage them to, you know.
Yeah, the problem is, like, one person doing that, it doesn't make a dent. You really need to get a lot of people together to do that, which is hard, but you're definitely voting with your dollars on what the next game you want to see with the game you're buying at the current time.
And one note on what he said, too, about a famous vampire game. I know we have Castlevania, but do you guys remember Vampire the Masquerade? It was a PC game.
I heard about that.
Came out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, maybe not that long ago. It ran on the Half-Life 2 engine.
What was it on the PS2 as well?
I can't remember. It may have been announced at some point for the PS2. I'm not sure if it ever actually came out.
Yeah.
The developer who did it, they were called Troika. They've since gone out of business, unfortunately. Hmm. But I just remember playing that game on my PC, and it was badass. It was a really fun game. It was an action RPG, and you had to adhere to like these special, you know, conditions. Like you weren't allowed to reveal your presence to a human. You couldn't let them know you're a vampire, because that's faux pas within the vampire community.
Yeah.
And that was a cool game. We got another Unlocked listener sent in an email about that game, and it reminded me, and that's why I'm bringing it up now, because that game was really badass.
Just wait for it. Coming in 2012, Lego Twilight.
Oh, God.
That would be the most horrible game. I don't know.
I can't wait
to
glitter.
It'd be awkward.
I'm surprised nobody, even in like, maybe there's a Facebook thing, but I'm surprised nobody's tried to use that license for some kind of game.
No, something. That's
good. There's a CNET.
I'm surprised too.
There's Twilight.
There you go. That's something.
Yeah.
But I think I'd like to hope that the demographic that is really into Twilight isn't into games.
I think people just realize that that whole series is so devoid of action and passion and basically everything else that it just won't make a good video game.
I'm pretty sure the whole series is just based on like timid lip biting, like, and like longing looks. So there's like a button for that.
Yeah,
you know.
It's also about walking around shirtless in the woods.
Yeah, it's true. Okay.
It wouldn't even make a good dating simulator.
No. I love you, but I can't.
You have like a dialogue wheel. I love you, but I can't. I love you, but I'm a vampire.
I'm a vampire.
Come sparkle with me.
Yeah.
Oh, Twilight, you rock.
Oh.
Jason Bristol asks, with the recent list of top 100 gaming moments, I wanted to know what your personal favorite gaming moment is. Can be anything you want. Double points for being Xbox specific.
Oh, man. You see this? It's a really cool feature that we put together between the UK office and here. But that's such a hard thing to settle on, because it's different for everybody. Like these iconic moments, because it's like, is it important? Is it a top moment for gaming as a whole? Is it a top moment for you? And it just so happens a lot of those intertwine. Like, but I don't know. I was trying to think about this too. I'm trying to think of like the earliest memories I have that I was like, yeah, awesome, cool, when I was a kid.
For me, actually, it was because for Street Fighter II, I used to button mash the crap out of that thing.
Nice.
And then I finally was able to, on purpose, do a short Hadouken, and I was really proud of that moment.
Nice.
This was when I was 6 years old, by the way. But awesome. Yeah, that's one of my, that's a gaming moment for me, where I was like, wow, I can control my character.
It's a good one to have.
Man, I think probably the first time I beat Moonwalker on Sega Genesis.
Oh, really?
That game just gets ridiculously hard.
Yeah, you beat that?
I beat it. Holy I stayed crap. Up all night and beat Moonwalker, which is a surprisingly good game, I thought. It's kind of great. I like that game. More recently, a moment I love on Xbox is the first time you jump off the tower in Crackdown.
Oh, yeah.
The agency tower. Awesome.
That is really cool.
Good moment.
Hmm.
Just jumping around through the skyscrapers in that game in general is
when
just
you
awesome.
First upgrade your agility and you're just like leaping through the city, it's so much fun. Man. But I don't think I have like a moment that completely defines everything for me. There's just these things when I think back that stand out to me for whatever reason.
Yeah, another one that stands out to me right now is the first time you start exploring the world in Arkham City, when you're like grappling from building to building, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
For me, kind of trying to go for the double points thing, when Braid came out, the ending of Braid.
Yeah.
The ending of that game is just fucking incredible. It's the coolest ending for a video game I think I've ever seen. And I remember, like, after I watched it, like, or after I, you know, did it. You don't really watch it. You kind of
partake in it, right? Yeah.
But yeah, I would have like friends come over to my house and I say, dude, you have to see this. Like even non-gaming friends.
Yeah.
Like people I went to college with were just like, what the hell is this? I said, no, you have to watch this ending. It's so amazing.
That's your icebreaker.
Yeah. They didn't even know what I was talking about.
They don't know who you are. You're bringing in people from the street. You come here.
Hey, come on.
You gotta see this in my house.
This is amazing.
Come into my living room for a moment. Close the door. Hit the light.
Yeah, I don't want to... For anyone who hasn't beaten Braid, I don't want to give anything away, yeah. But beat it. Like, if you don't have it, download it. If you have it but haven't beat it, beat that goddamn game, because that ending is awesome.
I still need to beat it then.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing.
I think the first time probably driving around in, like, Grand Theft Auto and realizing Grit 3, where you can, you're in 3D and you go off a jump and just crazy stuff starts happening... I think that's like a huge defining factor for me in sandbox games that I like more than others. I love vehicles. I love driving cars and bikes and doing crazy stuff. Because I feel like the most random, unexpected things happen due to the physics of driving and jumps and leaping through the air, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got so frustrated with the driving in GTA 3.
Oh, yeah. It's not perfect, but there's just some amazing stuff that happens. And that's why I always preferred like vehicular sandboxes to like Infamous.
Okay, we're just jumping around.
Yeah.
Grinding.
Though, I do appreciate the Infamous games, how fast you run.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd get real boring.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's why a lot of these sandbox games at least have some form of transportation instead of just hoofing it all the way through. Like, even Red Dead gave you a horse to go around on. You know, Mafia, you have cars.
Yeah.
GTA, you have cars. Like, I mean, that's kind of one of the biggest obstacles with a lot of sandbox games. Is the fact that, you know, how the hell are you going to get around this gigantic place? If you're just running, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Unless it's Skyrim, because you have fast travel and all that fun shit.
That is the vehicle.
Indeed. Joshua Redding would like to know that, or like to tell us, rather, that he was inspired to go back and play Thief Deadly Shadows. Right on. That was a great game. With Eidos Montreal's stunning revival of Deus Ex, what have you heard about their forthcoming reinvention of Thief? And have any of you played the old games? Thanks for the great work, and Merry Christmas.
Oh,
Merry Christmas to you too, Joshua. I've played all three of the previous Thief games, and I loved them. They were awesome. Going way back to like Looking Glass Studios when they did the original one. I personally haven't heard much about Thief 4 in years. Since 2009, I think.
Yeah, they haven't said anything.
Yeah.
But for me, that was a series I kind of missed entirely. Ooh, even though I have them sitting in my Steam library at home untouched.
Oh, dude.
It's one of those things was like, I need to play the Thief series. It's on sale for $5. What? Buy. And then it just sits there.
That's the whole danger of the Steam sales.
Oh, yeah. I have, I don't know how many games in there.
Rope you in, and then you have like this gigantic backlog of games.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In addition to the backlog of games I have of console games. Yeah. Like, come on.
But no, I mean, they were really good. I mean, I'm not entirely sure how much they would hold up now.
Yeah.
I mean, they would probably be pretty dated. I haven't played them in a long time. But yeah, last I heard about Thief 4, it was called like, they were doing that thing where they try to interject the number into the title.
So into it was the like spelling?
Thiorf.
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 Thiorf. Yeah.
You heard it here first.
And I was like, come on, guys, don't do that. But yeah, other than that, it's been pretty mum. I would think that, you know, with the success that Deus Ex has found, I mean, it's been a great game, you know, critically. It's done extremely well. People are talking about it. It's going to be a big game this Christmas. I think that'll definitely restart the Thief 4.
Thiorf. I'm still waiting on my copy of Deus Ex to show up. That's one of the few games this year I missed entirely. Stupid wedding.
It's all... Silly Pete. No, it's
a good game.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. It's
solid.
And yeah, I love the Thief's game. But one thing that might kind of be an obstacle for Thief 4 that I was thinking of is it seems like Assassin's Creed kind of has the market cornered on, you know, stealth Renaissance / medieval era gaming. So, you know, it's kind of up to Eidos Montreal or, you know, whoever ends up developing the project.
Maybe we'll find out that Thief games were actually part of a computer program, and the real story is taking place in the... Oh, damn it.
Yeah,
that's
what?
Been done too.
Damn.
I don't see Assassin's Creed as much of a stealth game because, like, I'm so used to Splinter Cell and Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. It's just more of a kill things discreetly kind
of
game.
It's more of like an acrobatics game.
Yeah, yeah.
And Thief definitely does it differently with first person and not as many acrobatics.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely room for distinction there. It's just kind of a matter of, you know, the consumer's eye when they look at the Thief 4 when it eventually comes out. Like, are they going to look at it in those terms? And I think that's something that they're probably taking seriously over at Eidos Montreal.
And we're definitely in an era of reboots with new Syndicate coming out, like, early next year.
It's
and
a first-person shooter now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, it actually looks pretty good. To me, it's looking like, obviously, there's a huge parallel to Deus Ex, just in the futuristic time frame and everything, but it looks kind of like the style is almost like it's polishing Deus Ex with some Brink, like the look of that. Like, a little more colorful in some ways. It's not just so as yellow as Deus Ex. But the one thing, my favorite part of the old top-down games, or three-quarter view games, was the Persuadatron, where you could just have this whole army to follow you around, and you could persuade enemy agents, and they'd follow you around too. So you just have this posse, like, storming through a map of every available citizen following you around. Made my day. And there's no Persuadatron in the new one.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And, of course, XCOM.
Yeah.
Which we haven't heard about since E3?
2010, right?
No, I saw it this year.
Okay.
They went dark for a long time and kind of redid some stuff and tried to make it more XCOM-y with some more tactical first-person type stuff.
Yeah.
It looks interesting. I mean, it's way too early to make a judgment call on that, but I'm sure we'll start hearing more about that soon, because I'm guessing maybe late next year that'll be coming.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But big fan of the originals.
I think with those kind of games doing well, Deus Ex and everything, it would make sense to look at Thief again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sure.
Never mind. Mark from Washington says, I'm an achievement hunter. The term achievement whore drives me nuts for some reason. Well, it's just,
you don't want to feel cheap.
You don't want to be called a whore.
You don't want to be used. Yeah, most people don't want to be called a whore.
Yeah. That's the reason, bro.
Makes sense.
And I have noticed that such people tend to catch a lot of flack about my achievement hunting ways. I've noticed you guys talk about achievements a lot, so I was wondering if you could help me think of a way to explain to non-believers this is why we do. Why is it that this is so addicting?
Well, there's like a huge... I guess it gives a sense of purpose to why you're gaming. It's like gives a literal stat percentage success rate of what you're playing. So it gives like that instant... gratification for, like, oh my god, I just headshotted 20 dudes and got an achievement for it.
It's very Pavlovian.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, you want to play a game to play it, but you also, you know, it's fun to look at, like, little supplemental things. I mean, all achievements aren't great, I guess.
No,
I mean,
there's a lot of
shitty achievements. Like, I hated the trying to find all the pigeons and
did you do it?
And that shit. I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, because here's the thing. You will always miss one.
Yep.
And you go back to a guide and it's like, here's the order to do them all. And it's like, okay, well, which one of these did I fucking miss? I don't know.
I know. I did that in Crackdown. I got all the hidden orbs in Crackdown.
Pigeons.
Took forever to find the last one.
Well, yeah. Physiologically, you actually get a little dopamine squirt.
Yeah.
So it makes you feel good. Because
that noise, even that sound
the
effect.
Bloop, right.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was actually scientifically, like, manufactured. Like, it was made from an exact science. Like, this is the sound that would get people riled up and, you know, get them all giddy. So that's why.
So I'm guessing if you're calling yourself an achievement hunter, like, you like to 100% games and, like, seek out the tough bits and the easy bits, and you play anything that's thrown in front of you. Which is totally respectable. I don't know if you need to explain it to someone. Yeah. Like, that's your thing. That's cool. Like, I'm totally fine with people who like to rack up that score. I noticed Steve and I are, like, actually in, like, a neck-and-neck race with achievements. Like, low 30,000s. And I've 100%ed 5 games, and I'm proud of 4 of them.
Cool.
I played NCIS.
I think achievement addictions could be a clinical addiction.
Yeah, I think we had an article on the site, or I read some article about how the what addiction means in gaming, and how a lot of studies that say talk about it mm-hmm. are actually wrong. But I don't know. It's definitely a psychological triggered trail of breadcrumbs, you know, to keep you playing. But they definitely, in some cases, like open up. You might not realize you could do something until you see like an achievement, like do this five times. You're like, I didn't know I could do that. And you're like, this changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, but it also kind of sounds like if you love finding all these achievements and unlocking all the crap in these games and hunting down all the hidden items, that's just kind of the type of gamer you are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of more so than achievements. This is probably something that you'd be doing even without, you know, the ding of an achievement.
Like shooting pigeons in real life.
That's what I do in my free time. All I can say is actually, as long as you're playing the game to enjoy it and getting those achievements, you know, in the process, and not just playing the game to get achievements, I think that's actually a very marked difference.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
And then I think, personally, I think that's kind of an unhealthy behavior to be driven by just getting those points and achievements rather than just enjoying yourself playing the game. That's just my personal thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, teach his own. More power to you. I hope you. And the thing about hunting for achievements too, it's kind of a little bit competitive. Like maybe you have a friend or somebody who is also kind of doing the same thing. So you want to keep the edge going. Like you want to battle back and forth and unlock a few more things than they have, which is totally cool. And it's a good reason to play. But yeah, I'm with you too. Like I want to enjoy the game for the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to like play something on another system almost because of this achievement thing. Like even though I'm not an achievement hunter, I still feel the need to play more things on Xbox. Also because we do a lot of Xbox writing here, I dare say, than I would on PlayStation or PC. Because I'm like, oh, I want to add to my score, even if, you know, just cause. Even if it's, I'm not obsessively trying to 100% everything.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, psychology.
Indeed. So, yeah, I mean, why it's addicting, just...
We're not psychologists to say for sure, but it definitely is addicting. The bloop sound is awesome.
It is, you know, it's you know, rewarding. But the important thing, Mark, is just to make sure that you're having fun.
Yeah,
you know, like you guys said, it's important to play the game, have a good time, and if you find yourself doing an achievement, and you're like, what the fuck, I gotta unlock this goddamn achievement, and you're getting, you know, pissed about it and furious and it's just not unlocking for you, don't. Just stop.
Yeah.
Just go play something else. Play something that is fun or move on to another section of that game and, you know, just have fun. If you find it, the harder you find to do that, then you might be an achievement addict. In which case,
first
Mark,
step is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah, have to talk. It's true. Would that be called, like, Achievements Anonymous? AA? Yeah. Still AA.
You have to go apologize to all the games you've wronged for not playing them because they didn't have achievements.
They sit you down.
Minecraft, I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. Dominic says, I currently have 43 hours logged in Skyrim, and I've been wondering how Bethesda was able to fit the entire supremely epic adventure on one Xbox 360 disc, while smaller games such as Rage, L.A. Noire, and Mass Effect 2 all fit on multiple discs.
Good question.
Yeah.
I think it's about engine optimization. Like, from a engine standpoint, a lot of the mechanics in Skyrim work the same as Oblivion, just to be straight up. Like, a lot of the characters move the same way. Obviously, the graphics are better, but a lot of the stuff is still there in the same way. So they've had multiple games to work on how to get this to fit and run and work. And I think the bulk of the content in there is, obviously, there's tons of dialogue, even though there are quite a few people that talk about wounds to body parts and things like that. You know, there's those generic things thrown around. But I don't know. I think it's just about optimization. And Skyrim does it well. And I don't know where the bulk of the content is, specifically in Rage, L.A. Noire, and Mass Effect, that's requiring multiple discs, but...
It probably has a lot to do with, you know, textures and and the actual content that they're putting onto these discs. It goes more beyond, you know, actual land space, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Skyrim is a gigantic game, but in terms of, like, you know, actual detailed textures and things that really eat up a lot of memory and disk space. You know, that's what you're going to run across in a game like Rage, for example. I mean, it just has the way that they built the textures in that game. They're just super detailed, but also not compressed and therefore fairly big.
Yeah, and for LA Noir, they had that huge motion scan technology. Some crazy tech. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to eat up some real estate there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys. I think that does it for our emails. Oh, man. Email! And we're going on to our next segment, which is MBKs.
What is that?
Well, Stephanie. I'm glad you asked. MBKs are Mary, Boff, Kill. So we have our listeners who are very great at sending us some awesome ideas. You pick one out of these three options, and you have to marry one of the three, kill one of the three, and boff one of the three. Which boff, I believe, means
to have
take them out to a steak dinner and maybe watch the new Twilight movie at the theater. That's what
for
boff
the kids
means,
out
right?
there.
Right,
boff.
Pete?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Interesting.
So, first up, Zachary would like to know. Actually, Zachary sent four. Jeez, you crazy kids. Elder Scrolls franchise, Diablo franchise, and Final Fantasy franchise.
Whew. Ooh, man.
All right. I think I would marry Elder Scrolls, boff Diablo, and kill Final Fantasy. I'm assuming killing means all the old games are still in existence, but they're not going to make any new ones.
Actually, it means gutting them like a fish so they breathe.
It never existed. Wipe it off the face of the earth.
Brutal.
Actually, I think I would agree with Peter. I definitely would kill the Final Fantasy franchise just because it's been going on for so long. And it's 13 and then 13-2. I'm not impressed or pleased at all.
13 going on 30.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to be the voice of difference here. I'm going to say marry Final Fantasy.
Oh,
boff Elder Scrolls and kill Diablo. Now, I really like Diablo. I have for some years.
Not that
Diablo
much, one. Apparently.
Well, no, just kidding. You have to kill something.
Exactly.
Right? But Final Fantasy, I'm already married to. I've played that franchise since day one. I love the original Final Fantasy. I still pick it up every now and then and play it on my NES.
You go out to dinner on the anniversary of Final Fantasy I's release every year.
We do.
Yeah.
And we're like, so what have you been up to lately? Oh, you know. Final Fantasy 14. And then the dinner goes quiet.
I gotta say, I didn't play 13, but I've been reading some of the previews around IGN about 13-2. It actually sounds kind of cool.
It does. And I liked Final Fantasy 13 for what it was.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people just absolutely abhorred it and hated it. But, you know, it's not gonna be 7. They're never gonna make another 7.
No.
And, you know, I'm...
Or 6.
Or 6, for that matter, exactly. But, you know, for what it was a pretty fun game. The story got kind of stupid, and the dialogue was pretty lame at points, but I did like the battle system. I thought it was creative. They took a risk with 13, and you have to appreciate that. I mean, for a franchise that's going on its 13th entry, or 14th,
probably like
13th
15
and a half,
now,
or whatever, yeah. Whatever they're doing.
There must be 15 behind the scenes somewhere. Because 14 is just announced their new payment system for the online craziness.
their finally payment system? Because they have a game that they feel comfortable charging people for.
Yeah. It only took, over a year?
That's all. So, yeah. I like Final Fantasy. And I have faith that, you know, there's some good minds at Square Enix that can, you know, pull something out with that series. And
did you guys
just
see
a matter of time
when Unreal Engine Final Fantasy VII thing?
I
did
kind of saw
it's
it.
Okay,
yeah. It was cool for a fan main thing. It was,
yeah,
it was pretty cool. It was impressive what they were able to do with it. But okay, Porsche, Jaguar, Ferrari.
I'm not a big MBK. Car person.
I'd kill Jaguar. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
Probably marry Ferraris because they're good looking and they're going to stay good looking for a long time.
There you go.
I'd just boff the Porsche for a few good rides in a little car.
So you guys say Porsche, right? And I know a lot of people go Porsche.
Porsche?
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I hear both pronunciations.
We're on like nickname basis.
Yeah.
Porsche and I, so it's like
pet name.
I call him Poe.
Poe.
I just go Poor.
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 What's up, Poor? Where you at? What's up, P? All right, I would marry Ferrari, boff Porsche, kill Jaguar.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about that. I am 6'4". I don't think I can fit Porsche in any of these cars.
Yeah.
I might have to kill Porsche. You're right.
There's some bigger Jaguars, though, so maybe you shouldn't kill it.
There are some bigger Jaguars. Don't kill those bigger Jaguars. That's just food for thought. Okay.
Ooh.
Next up, SNES, PlayStation 1, Dreamcast. Man.
This Bam. Is tough.
I'd do it in that order.
Would you?
I feel like Super Nintendo but the games Dreamcast totally was stand killed. Up. Exactly. Oh. And I would kill it all over again.
Man.
It had great games.
Super Nintendo totally stands up today. My brother still has our old Super Nintendo with this collection of games that we used to own, and he also picks them up at thrift stores all the time. PlayStation 1, I was absolutely in love with, and there was just some great times back there. And Dreamcast, like, I didn't own one myself. I played it at friends. So maybe this is just a history of my life, of what's happened. but yeah, I'll kill it all over again.
Yeah, well, PlayStation's probably one of my favorite consoles.
Oh, you know what I'd kill, actually, is Dreamcast collections that have been re-released.
Ew.
Oh.
Nobody wants those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, PlayStation, the PlayStation 1 is one of my favorite consoles of all time. But Peter is right in that the Super Nintendo games, they still hold up really well. Whereas if I were to go back to, like, Crash Bandicoot right now,
it doesn't hold up as well.
Fucking terrible. So, I would actually kill the PlayStation and then boff Dreamcast, and then marry Super Nintendo.
Yay. I would marry SNES, boff Dreamcast, and kill PlayStation 1.
All right. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, you know.
There we go.
I love the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
you can't top that. But, mm-hmm. you know, if I were a polygamist, I would definitely marry all three, because they all hold a very special place in my heart. Right.
Sister systems.
Does anyone
think
so?
I used to watch that.
With T and Tamara?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a pretty cool show.
Football, baseball, basketball, go!
Kill. Marry basketball, because I actually grew up watching the NBA with my dad. So, and then I would probably... I would probably kill football, actually, and boff baseball.
Ooh.
The only thing I actually follow is soccer, so...
It's true.
The bloody murderous spree of killing all...
Well, then maybe it's the international definition of football, then.
Oh, okay.
I do enjoy... I'm okay with football.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball just takes forever. Such a long thing.
It's fun when you go to the actual game,
though.
Yeah, it is. Oh, hell yeah.
Basketball, it's... I don't know. Basketball's okay. I feel like, in general, especially in the NBA, the games are so close most of the time, it comes down to, like, the last quarter every time.
That's why it's so exciting.
Just turn it on 3/4 of the way through. I'm not a fan, so don't listen to what I'm saying. I forget what Christine, at one point, called something a non-sport. I think it was baseball.
She said it wasn't a real sport.
There was an uproar. These are all real sports. Don't get me wrong, everyone. I'm a soccer person.
Yeah.
I'd have to go marry football, buff baseball, kill basketball.
Okay.
All in that order. I mean, I'm not a big basketball fan at all.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I can't get into it. It bores me. It's not fun to play, for me at least. It's not fun to watch.
And you're 6'4".
And I'm 6'4". Wasted talent. How about that? wasted feet or something. But yeah, I love football. Baseball's fun, kind of in the way that Stephanie was saying.
Yeah.
You know, I love being at a baseball park and
yeah.
and watching a game. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Drinking beers and shit. All right, that does it for Zachary's MBKs. Now let's move on to Adam, who has Rayman Origins, Batman Arkham City, and Saints Row the Third.
Oh, man.
It's a toughie.
Out of the three, I've only actually played Arkham City. I've been meaning to try Rayman and Saints Row, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely marrying Arkham City just based on that.
Yeah. You know what? I think I might do it in that order.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love Saints Row.
Mm-hmm.
But Batman is just all kinds of sexy.
Totally is.
Just take it out for a night on the town, you know? Don't call it back, maybe in the morning, once it's over. And Rayman is just so cool. And you've heard us say it here before. It's like, if you haven't tried the demo or anything, like, check this game out. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's old school. It's just completely awesome.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the long run.
Excellent. I would marry Batman, boff Saints Row, and kill Rayman. Rayman, I love. It's a kick-ass little game. You know, I love the art direction. I love the style. Mm-hmm. But Batman, I'm a diehard Batman fan. And Saints Row the Third, it's just, it works in those, like, okay, you know, bottoms dropped. I've had a few beers. I just want to do some crazy shit that I can laugh at in this game for, like, maybe half an hour to an hour.
And there's definitely plenty of that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the craziest goddamn game, and it's
is that in a good way?
Yes. Yeah, like, in a great way. Okay. Like it wears that on its sleeve, and it's like it has no delusions about itself. It's like this is what I am. Deal with it. You can play me or you cannot play me. Whatever.
Cool.
And I find that sexy.
It's a great attitude.
Yeah. All right, Baker's got some movie adaptations for us.
Oh man,
Mass Effect series, the Elder Scrolls series, or Gears of War series? Go.
I think I'd marry the Mass Effect series. I think that could make a good long-term TV show. Something along those lines.
Oh, movie damn adaptations.
It. Yeah, gotta be movie, Pete.
Okay, still. I'll take a Mass Effect movie. Okay. I'd boff Gears of War movie, and I think I'd kill that Elder Scrolls movie.
But you said that the Elder Scrolls series
would make a good TV show.
Movie because you have like your own character, and that's the same way in Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's why I'd kill it. Elder Scrolls.
No, I'm talking about Mass Effect. You said
Mass Effect, your own character, but the options are much more limited. It's not like you're discovering these crazy things that nobody's seen or.
But then you have the morality system to take into account, and that could like really complicate the movie.
I don't think that needs to be in the movie.
Would it
be
an evil shepherd or a good shepherd?
I think it doesn't have to be so black and white in a show. Like, you'd have to make some tough decisions, or so maybe. Choose your
like
own adventure.
Like an anti-hero?
Yeah, maybe.
I would marry the Gears of War movie adaptation because it would just probably make one of the better movies of this list.
It could be cool.
It'd be more
movie
focused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then boff Mass Effect and then kill Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Stephanie. I mean, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't be that into a Gears of War movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the dialogue would get pretty much
gone, yeah.
Just unbearable after a point for a movie, at least. But, you know, I definitely think that world at least lends itself better to a linear film than either of the other two.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, guys, that does it for our MBKs.
Oh, man.
That was pretty cool. I like that. Who came up with
the tough choices? I don't know. It's been a thing
it's been
for
around.
A long time.
It's been floating. It's in the ether.
I think the old podcast did it. Seen it on 30 Rock. It's been around the block.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, indeed.
Not in the know for this.
So, yeah, if you guys have any more questions or more MBKs or you just want to shoot the shit, send us a message at unlocked@ign.com. Remember to keep your questions and suggestions short and sweet so we can get to them on the air. Conversely, you can hit us up on Twitter at unlocked, at P. Eichmann's, at SuperLee7 is Stephanie's Twitter handle, at IGN, and myself at Steven_Hopper. So, guys, Pete, what do we have for the meta achievement this week?
I think this week, we're kind of in between holidays, so we're not going to do anything holiday-themed, but this Saturday are the VGAs, the Video Game Awards, where developers and publishers are going to put up a whole bunch of new trailers, stuff we have no clue about right now. So send in your thoughts, probably before Saturday, but even after, you can talk about your disappointment. But send in, like, your ideal surprise announcement from the VGAs. What would it be? Shoot that to us in an email for, I don't know, just a quick, it can be a one-word email, so I'm going to say 10 points.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Your hopes and dreams in video game announcement form.
VGA it up, guys. All right.
See Thorf.
Thorf. I would love to see more Thorf.
Thorf.
My name is Steve. It's I would like to see Thorf.
It's like a terrible sequel to Thor 2.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Or Thor. Is it Thor 2 that just came out? Or just Thor?
I think it was just Thor.
Okay.
Just
Thor.
I never saw Thor. All I remember thinking was like, what the hell is Natalie Portman doing? She
what
was in that,
done?
Right?
Well, yeah. It's like the terrible child of Thor and Alf.
Alf.
That would be a terrible child. A little Melmacian running around with Mjolnir, the hammer.
Good call.
I'm from Valhalla.
I could not have called out what type of alien Alf was off the cuff. So good no. work there.
And I can, yes. Which is
that's why Steve
more about
makes
me.
The big bucks.
Oh god,
that's why he runs the Xbox channel.
All right, guys, thanks a lot for your help and thanks for listening. And we will catch you next week.
Bleep 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 bleep.
So yeah, you've done Unlocked in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So cool. So you kind of know.
Unless you guys changed the whole format or whatever.
Oh, we did.
We now talk now about we, yeah. classic cars.
Hopefully cats.
And cats.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's like a...
Classic cat restoration.
Classic cat. That sounds
we're
going to
restore
like
our classic cats. As classic
the
as
Calico
these cats
just
get.
Isn't what they used to be. I had an 85 Calico once. It's my first cat. Got it from my dad.
That's disturbing.
85 Calico.
My dad was a disturbing person. It's true.
Okay.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.